You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Busy time of year for sports. Not typically this busy. I mean, we got the Preakness this weekend. The French Open is going on. The NBA Finals are currently going on. Not for long, but currently going on. You've got NFL, which always is. Now, no Titans game tomorrow. Remember that. Titans Steelers will not be played tomorrow. They're going to play that game week 7. I guess the NFL has adjusted the schedule a little bit. The thing for me to keep a very close eye on is that Vikings situation, because they played the Titans on Sunday, and this thing can have a period of days and days and days where it can manifest itself in a negative test and then all of a sudden have a positive test. So that's the concern for, I think, the NFL right now. But it's spreading around the Titans. I mean, you find out every day now that another guy has it and another guy has it and another guy has it. And maybe the Titans fans are the lucky fans that they don't have to watch their team this weekend. Maybe if the Jets and Giants were to not play, it would make things a little bit easier for all of us. To look at where we are in New York football, and we can take both teams individually, we can lump them in as a one entity. It's unbelievable that New York football is just this awful. We'll get there in a moment. 800-919-3776. 2020 continues to horrify and sadden us. Bob Gibson, just, you know, one of the absolute greatest pitchers, greatest guys ever to walk the planet, passes away at the age, I believe, of 84 from pancreatic cancer last night. Now, Bob Gibson, I mean, the lore is extreme. Changed the game. You hear all the time, oh, this guy, he changed the game. This guy, he changed the game. He really did. I mean, the mound after the 68 season, the mound was lowered because of the dominance of Bob Gibson, who put up one of the greatest years in the history of Major League Baseball. Really, if you look back at the numbers, I think his ERA was 1.12. Had 255 complete games in his career. 255 complete games, which the interesting thing about that is 251 wins. So more complete games than he actually had wins. But it's just another one of those. 2020 is just a horrendous, horrendous year. And Godspeed to one of the absolute greats, Bob Gibson, passes away at the age of 84. And no one, I mean, really, we look at it now and it's Cole and it's maybe Verlander and DeGrom. He was that pitcher of that generation, but better and bigger, and just he was better. He was dynamic. He was a difference maker. And if you look back at his stats, they are just unreal. And really, and changed the game. And changed the game after the 68 season, where the mound could not be where it was, had to be lowered. It was just too much of an advantage for pitchers like Bob Gibson. All right, let's have our jumping off point of the Jets and the Giants. And I guess we'll start with the Jets and both teams. Just it's a travesty is what it is. Watching these teams play football is all the adjectives that you can use negatively, use them. It's disgusting. And rather than, you know, we did this yesterday on my show, 9 to 11, DCR, DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, Monday to Friday, right? But rather than sit here and break down, well, on this play you didn't go for it, and the personal fouls, and it's true. It's a systemic issue, though. This is a bad football team. This is a bad organization. I mean, look at what the Jets are. This is year one of rebuilding. You're going in the wrong direction. You know, Adam Gase, is he the head coach that you want for this job right now? The answer is clearly not. Now, I know a lot of people clamoring, get him out of here, get him out of here. He's not going to be here. Whether it's now, whether it's week 8, whether it's week 12, whether he lasts the season, whatever the case may be, I don't know how long he's going to keep this job. Because remember, two weeks ago, the owner came out and gave you the biggest seal of approval you could ever possibly have. That this guy is great. This guy is an offense. You don't even understand what a brilliant offensive mind he is. So the other night, on 4th and 1/4 of a yard where they replay it and Crowder is deemed short of the first down, now you don't go for it? And you talk about undisciplined? I mean, do you think, and you don't even have to take one of the great coaches, you think the Titans under Mike Vrabel would be a team that has 11 penalties for 100-plus yards and 6 personal fouls and can't get themselves off the field, and the other coach won't shake your hand? I mean, the Jets and Giants are not losing now. The Jets and the Giants are embarrassing themselves now. And we'll get to the Giants because I have a lot of takes on them as well. But we start with the Jets because they played most recently. And they lost to a team. I mean, can you believe that this? And can you believe that that? And how about this? And how about that? The Jets were plus 3 in the turnover margin. Scored a defensive touchdown. Went up against a quarterback making his first ever start, a third string quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And they lost by 9. I mean, let that sink in for a minute. They won the turnover battle dramatically. They actually had a pick 6. He had never made a start before. They put up 37 points? 37? And beat you by 9? So much so that the final 2 minutes of the game, it was really out of reach. And you can blame the defense. You can blame on discipline. You can blame the head coach. Look, Darnold makes plays, but Darnold is not great by any stretch. I mean, 4th and 3 in midfield. Can you get rid of the football, please? He made a great play on that run early. He is an athletic quarterback. The best that he gives you is when he's on the run and doing something mobile. But my God, you had guys open. And Rick yesterday says, well, he doesn't trust Cager. He doesn't trust this. Well, you have to. I mean, this is what you have to deal with. So if you look up and you say, uh-oh, that's Braxton Berrios. He can't, you can't help that. Put it on his numbers. If he drops it, he drops it. I mean, don't even get me started with Chris Herndon. Oh, Chris Herndon is going to, he's so bad. He's so bad, even the head coach you look at and you can't even believe is coaching this team came out and said, this is not what we expected with Chris Herndon. That's how bad he was. That's how bad he's been. You know, and that's something the Jets and Giants have a lot of things in common right now. And tight end is one of those things. At some point, the potential of Evan Engram and or Chris Herndon, at some point, can it show us something? Because this duo is such a disappointment. Chris Herndon, goodbye. Goodbye. Like, I don't want to watch him play anymore. Evan Engram, well, the potential. He was a first-round pick. He was a top 20 pick. And this is what we have to deal with? Falling down on routes? Dropping passes? It's disgusting is what it is. So I don't know what more there is to say about the Jets. I mean, honestly, I would think it, because I'm this way with the Giants. At this point, if I'm a Jets fan, I'm numb. You can't call and be like, I just can't believe this is happening. How can you not? How can you not believe this is happening? They have so little talent, coupled with such poor coaching, it seems, right now. Coupled with an organization that doesn't seem to be able to fight their way out of a paper bag. How can you be surprised by this? This is what the Jets are. And until you get a new head coach, and let's be fair, and I'm not saying he's bad, but the jury is, I mean, they just left for deliberation when it comes to Joe Douglas. They haven't even opened up their cheese sandwiches yet. It's like the judge says, the jury will now go deliberate, we'll be back. They are now sitting in that jury room. It's the beginning of 12 Angry Men. I don't know about Joe Douglas. I don't know that he's bad, but I'll tell you what, I don't know that he's good. It was this offseason that we had promos on the station of hosts, football hosts, Bart Scott, Chris Canty. I mean, high-caliber, knowledgeable football guys saying this is going to be a team that they're going to be right there, 7 wins, 8 wins, if things go right, playoffs. Playoffs? They could play 4 consecutive seasons right now. Compile the wins and add them together, and this team wouldn't win enough games to go to the postseason. Watching the Jets makes your eyes bleed. It is awful. That loss the other night, listen, when teams are better than you and you lose, okay. I mean, you're losing 33-7 and defensive touchdowns and the Colts were not great. I mean, but you're losing game after game after game. Okay. But when you look at what you have against you the other day, and it's a quarterback making his first start, traveling cross-country on a short week, all sorts of banged up, turn the ball over 3 times, inclusive of that as a pick 6, and they beat you by 9. If it's not rock bottom, I don't know what rock bottom is. I really, really don't. We'll get to your Jets calls. And I don't want to start with the Giants now because I'm so annoyed and so frustrated and so disappointed. You know, we talk about the Jets being rock bottom. The Giants, I'll give you one number. We'll break, come back, and get to your calls into the Giants as well. The Giants in their last 51 games are 12-39. Let that sink in for a second. Since the boat trip, since those guys, and Victor Cruz, who used to come on with us all the time, would always defend it. Oh, it wasn't a big deal. Since they went out on that stupid boat, wearing jeans, sunning themselves, showing evidence on social media, inclusive of that Sunday game where Beckham had to run out onto the field in zero-degree weather with no shirt on, like a fool. The Giants are 12-39. And is it going to get better? You could make the absolute argument it will get worse before it gets better. 800-919-3776. So we destroyed the Jets, and rightfully so, to start the show. And the Giants will not be far behind. And neither will Kyrie Irving. We'll get to a lot of your calls. 800-919-3776. Obviously, Stumper Rothenberg coming your way at 10:30 this morning. RJ Bell live from Vegas at 11 o'clock this morning. We're in debates. We're in negotiations and talks whether or not a frenzy will take place this morning. Ty and I are going to have to off the air have a deep conversation because there's so much for us to get into. But guys, New York football is the lead. We'll get into the Yankees as well. And I know it already, Yankees fans. I know you're walking around with your chest out and your head high. And, oh, who do the Rays think they are? Who? How dare they think that they're going to beat us? I got to tell you, this series, in my mind, is your de facto American League Championship Series. The winner of this series will move on to the World Series. Most likely, I would think, to play the Dodgers. But this is going to be a heck of a series. Heck of a series.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Monday, it all starts. Yankees, Rays. Chris Carlin is going to take you from 7 to 8 leading into coverage of Game 1 of the ALDS between the Yankees and the Rays on 98.7 ESPN. Inside, the Jets will follow Game 1 of the ALDS broadcast. Of course, you can hear it right here. Your home of the MLB postseason, 98.7 ESPN. This is a great series. Of the four we have, I mean, Marlins, Braves, and I know the Marlins are a cute story, but then, come on. Really. A's, Astros, intriguing. And the A's are the better team, but the Astros have this way. And I know people can't stand them. Dodgers, Padres is a very interesting series. But the entree, the main course is the Yankees and the Rays. And this is the time that we say good morning to the, and you know him affectionately, as Ty D. Butler, Newhouse School of Communications. Good morning, Ty. How are you?
Great morning, David. I am doing very well.
You have it all going on now, huh?
I've got it going on, baby. I mean,
you're a Yankees fan.
I'm also a Jets fan, so let's excuse that.
Okay. But you're a Lakers fan.
I am.
You're a Yankees fan.
That indeed.
And then, oh, by the way, you're a Jets fan.
Yes.
So no one is holding a charity fundraiser for your fandom. I mean, you're still in pretty good standing overall.
I would say I'm doing well at the moment. Still a lot of work to be done, as the great Kobe Bryant said in 2009. So.
Yes, but not for the Lakers. The Lakers are, that is over.
Still two more wins to get in this series. You don't want to count your chickens before they hatch.
Sure, you don't want to count them before they hatch, but the egg is cracked.
It has been cracked.
The head is popping through.
It is popping through.
Popping through.
And you can see.
Let me ask you a serious question.
It happened.
You love the Lakers, and I think you're a pretty good sports fan, to be honest.
Okay.
Is this as enjoyable a series, a postseason run, as something that was like intense and incredible and ended in a win? Is this the kind of anticlimactic?
It is, and that's the perfect word to use. And part of it is the season was suspended. You don't have fans. The Lakers are rolling right now, and partly because that the Heat, the 5 seed, should not have been in the NBA final. If the season did not get interrupted, they would not be here.
It really is a shame. Yeah, if there was like a real home court, I tend to agree with that. But, you know, it's funny because 5 days ago, people say, oh, the Heat, what a team they are. Now, all of a sudden, the Lakers are having their way, and they are all banged up, which is a tremendous disappointment. And they're just, how could they be here? And this is not a worthy opponent. So let's give the Lakers some credit, coupled with injury as well.
Yeah, but the Heat were up 13 in game one. That quickly evaporated. But I'm talking more so about the injuries. You get two of your three best players to go down. You have no chance, especially going up against LeBron and Anthony Davis. I'm still enjoying it, not to the extent that I would if it were more competitive and right. If the season didn't get up, you know, interrupted. But here we are. I'm not gonna have any complaints about it. I'm still feeling pretty good about this situation.
And you're, I mean, 2 wins away, which will probably come on, what, Sunday, Tuesday? And then that'll be it, right?
That'll be it. That'll be all she wrote.
So Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, that's going to be, you know, cigar champagne for you, right?
Now, I will say it is fully dependent on what happens in games one and two with the Yankees and the Rays.
So if the Yankees fall down 2-0, but the Lakers run away with a championship, you don't at least have a window of, I need to celebrate this title. It's a title, for God's sake.
Yes, I do have that type of a window. But as far as extreme excitement, jubilance, that gets diluted to some degree. Just because...
watered down a little.
Yes, the Yankees, I don't want to say hate. I have a disdain for the Rays, particularly because of how they've carried themselves this year.
No. Sports hate. You have a sports hate.
Yeah,
for
but
the
that's
Rays.
A very strong word, especially to use. I would say that during the break. Is that okay to say on the radio
well,
that you
I
hate
think
a
if
team?
You qualify it with it's a sports hate. I mean, you're not wishing ill on Charlie Morton.
No,
but sports ill. You're wishing on Charlie
yes.
Morton.
I just don't want to get a phone call from Ryan and John say, "Hey, Ty, you can't use that word on the radio."
I got in trouble for years. You ever hear this story?
I did not.
For years, I would. You know, Dave, what do you think on the air? What do you think about the Yankees? I hate the Yankees. And ooh. I would get people at the state, like higher ups at the station, coming, you can't say hate. I'm like, but I do. But you can't say that. I'm like, well, but I do. So I can't help it. So now I've kind of qualified it with it's a sports hate. And if you, I think if you use sports hate, now you're free and clear.
Okay.
We might get a call. I don't know. But I think that's going to work.
I have a sports hatred.
There you go.
Deep-rooted hatred for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Or are they?
They're not the Devil Rays.
Do they still go?
Going back in time? They're not.
Well, they've been so irrelevant. I haven't paid attention to them.
They haven't been so irrelevant, by the way.
They've changed their name to the Rays. Okay,
that's a very well-run organization.
I missed that, but I've got a sports hatred for them. So I'm counting on the Yankees to dispose of them pretty quickly.
Now, if the Yankees were to lose that series, would it send you into some kind of a sports depression?
Yes.
As it would be. It would.
I'm going to be honest, and Brian's here in studio, so he's not going to be happy about what I'm going to say. If the Yankees lose this series, he might be solo next Saturday. I don't know if I can come in.
I respect that.
Wow.
If you called like Ryan or John Winthrop or one of the higher-ups at the station, management at the station, and they answered the phone, hello? You're like, it's Ty, what's going on? I can't come in tomorrow. Why not? Depressed over the Yankees. I don't know how everyone would react. I would have tremendous respect for that.
But I can't qualify it that way. Could I just say I have an emergency?
No, just say, listen, I am distraught. I mean, we haven't won a title since 2009. We haven't been to the World Series since 2009.
Very long time.
The expectation was to beat the Devil Rays, and that now hasn't happened. I need a day for me. I'm sorry. I can't be there tomorrow.
Am I met with any type of resistance?
They might. I would not.
Okay. So,
like, if you're looking for my approval, that would be the route to go. If you're looking for their approval, probably not.
So if we power rank whose approval means more, is it Rothenberg, then Winthrop and Hurley, or is it the other way around? Because that's going to factor into my decision.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it's me first. Because I'm more of the voice of the station than they are. Obviously,
true.
People out and about don't really know Ryan and John all that much. But behind the scenes, they may hold more clout than I do. So I don't know. You'll have to decide. It's up to you. It's a personal choice.
We'll do that. And by the way, later on, we're going to have to hit, because you just called yourself the voice of the station. And it just reminded me that there was a certain list at this very station put out this week that you did not make. Yeah. And I'm going to have to get your thoughts
on it.
Well,
I'm not well-liked, I think, is obvious. Yeah, but and I didn't, when I said I was the voice, I meant compared to Ryan and John. Obviously, Michael Caine is the voice of the station.
No, I think you mean
stop playing this
your
game.
Voice,
now you've annoyed me.
Know.
You know what? I hate you. All right, 800-919.
Sports hate. You got to qualify with
hate.
Sports.
Real true, honest hate. 800-919-3776. Let's hear from some of these Jets fans. We'll get to the Giants in a couple minutes, I promise, and the Yankees and the Rays, which should be a sensational, sensational series. All right, let's go. Let's go to Ed in Staten Island. Ed, you're first up on a Saturday on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Just wanted to say I'm a big fan of the show. I always tune in the mornings. But I have to tell you, man, when I tuned in this morning, I woke up and listening to you talk about the Jets and Giants just gave me that reoccurring case of heartburn that I usually experience on Sundays.
It's terrible.
It's insane. It's almost to the point where it's like, you know, if you're a Jets or a Giants fan, you got to have a big bottle of Tums sitting on the table for every time they make a mistake that could have been avoided. You know what I mean? It's like you sit there and you watch New York football shoot themselves in the foot constantly with every little thing, and it really comes down to coaching and front office decisions. And to me,
you're right. You're right, Ed. I think it's more coaching with the Jets and more front office decisions with the Giants.
Yeah, and like to me, it's how much more writing do you need to see before you realize that Adam Gase needs to go? It's insane.
You're right. And thanks for the phone call. But it's only a matter of time. Like it's only a matter of time until he's gone, whether it's this week, whether it's 4 weeks, whether it's the end of the season. Like, he's not going to last long. Where do you want to go? You want Greg Williams? I mean, do you really look at Greg Williams as kind of a savior now? Is that the answer? And Jim Bob Cooter is going to save things? Like, there is no answer here on this Jets team right now. These are bad football teams. You know what makes it even worse? Is for years, forever and ever, I would watch the Giants, and when they lost, and this is no joke, I would be heartbroken. Like, the rest of my night, Sundays, would be ruined. I would toss and turn all night. I'd wake up Monday and feel unwell. They are so bad, and this is sincere. They are so bad, and it has become such commonplace that when they lose, it doesn't even have the same impact on me anymore. Like, they are at a point where it's so unwatchable and so distasteful that you look at what they are and you're like, okay, well, this is just what they are. I mean, it's almost like I'm a hostage is what it's like. You know, like what is it, Stockholm Syndrome, where hostages get taken and they fight and they claw and they try to get their way out of it. And then at some point they're like, oh, well, I'm part of them. That's what I am with the Giants. It's like, it was awful and I couldn't take it and it was painful. And now all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, this is what it is. Like, honestly, Giants lose to the Niners by 30 points last week. It didn't ruin my day. It's disappointing. I shake my head at it, but it doesn't ruin my day. I'm like, all right, 4 o'clock games, let's go. Put my head on the pillow that night. But you know why? Which is even worse. You're apathetic to it. It's even worse than watching them play and being angry. Like I said, they're 12-39 in the last 51. There's not a team out, not the Jets, not the Browns, not the Bengals. I mean, the Browns went winless and they're not 12-39 in the last 51. And is it going to get better? Do you look at this year as a season that all of a sudden the Giants are going to start rolling out wins? They're 2-touchdown underdogs. I mean, this is a rebuilding project that has taken years, and is far from rebuilt. Because they didn't know what they were doing. And you know what angers me? And I didn't want to get here now, but we're going to go here now. Is Gettleman. I mean, at what point? And I understand that the guy's had cancer, and I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, and I'm not, you know, picking on him personally. But professionally? I mean, he's been awful. And for some reason, we dance around it. Why can't we just call it honestly like we see it? He's been awful. Now you say, well, you know what? It was the upper management, it was ownership that wouldn't allow him to move on. That wouldn't allow him to move on from Eli Manning. Yeah, but was it ownership that said you have to take Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick? that you couldn't trade back and take Quentin Nelson? Was that ownership that demand? Was it ownership that said, get Alec Ogletree here? Was it ownership that said, Patrick Amame, you got to bring him in? Was it ownership that demanded trading Beckham for what you traded him for? Was it ownership that said, move up and take DeAndre Baker? Move back into the first round and take DeAndre Baker? Was that ownership? So, yeah, were you hamstrung with the way it worked out with Eli Manning? Maybe so. But let's be honest, guys. This defense of Dave Gettleman, well, it's only been 2+ years and he was ill. And all, enough. He's done a terrible job. There's still lack of talent here as much as any team, maybe outside the Jets in the NFL. It's not getting better anytime sooner, anytime quickly. And this is what they are. The Giants are a football team that loses by 30 and it doesn't even faze you anymore. That's what they are. Why? Ownership, yes. Gettleman, big yes. Nate Solder, biggest contract to an offensive line, bring him in. How'd that work out? How's it all worked out? If we ran through every move that Gettleman has made here, you think you'd get a passing grade? No. You give him a big fat F, a red F, and circle it. Terrible job. So the Jets fan looks at Adam Gase and says, when? The Giants fan, at least me, I can't speak for every Giants fan, I look at Dave Gettleman and say, when? Because he has not done a good job here at all. You moved into the first round. You traded assets to move into the first round and took a guy that there were red flags about in DeAndre Baker. And now you have the audacity to come out and say, well, we didn't know. I knew. I was told before the draft, they love Baker and look out because he's not a good guy. So either they shouldn't have that job or maybe I should if I knew and they didn't. Ridiculous.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
For years, forever and ever, I would watch the Giants, and when they lost, and this is no joke, I would be heartbroken. Like, the rest of my night, Sundays would be ruined. I would toss and turn all night. I'd wake up Monday and feel unwell. They are so bad, and this is sincere. They are so bad, and it has become such commonplace that when they lose, it doesn't even have the same impact on me anymore. They're 12-39 in the last 51. There's not a team out, not the Jets, not the Browns, not the Bengals. I mean, the Browns went winless and they're not 12-39 in the last 51. And is it going to get better? Do you look at this year as a season that all of a sudden the Giants are going to start rolling out wins? They're 2 touchdown underdogs. I mean, this is a rebuilding project that has taken years, years, and is far from rebuilt.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, let's roll. I know it's the top of the 10 o'clock hour and confusing for some, but not all that confusing for most. 800-919-3776. Let's set the ground rules again. We're into week 4 of the NFL season, so please, you get right into it. I say, let's practice, right? Joe, you're on the frenzy. Not, hey, Dave, love the show. How you doing? Big fan. I listen to you guys. No. Please get right to it. Do you sense the Saints are in trouble? Is Drew Brees done? Like, right to it, move on, and away we go. We can handle this. I know we can if we all stick together. 800-919-3776. All right, Brian, are you ready to roll here?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine Ty is also ready to roll. Either of you guys participating in the frenzy?
I will be.
You will be.
I will participate in Stump Rothenberg.
Okay, so you're gonna sit back on the frenzy. Ty, you're going to be heavily involved in the frenzy. All right, here we go. Flashing Graham wants to know on the Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN, with these Falcons and Matt Ryan, is he still a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? Matt Ryan is still really good. You know, it's really unfortunate that he's put in a position where he's on this team that blows double-digit leads in the fourth quarter all the time. But Matt Ryan is still a really good quarterback. Is he top 10? Right around there. I mean, he's not Russell Wilson. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Mahomes. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Josh Allen now. But I would say he's probably right in that 10 range, yes. James, Queens, Frenzy, a go.
From what you've seen, do you think Daniel Jones has the ability to become the franchise quarterback?
It's not a cop-out, James. I don't know. I mean, yes, he's given you moments where you've looked at him and thought, he looks terrific. Those are fleeting. I haven't seen them in a while, and I have real reservations. Ray in Brooklyn. Ray, you're on the Frenzy.
Would you stick with Sam Darnold if we get the number one pick and just the number one pick?
No. I would not. If you wind up with the number one pick, it means you were 0-16 or 1-15 or best case scenario 2-14. So I've had 3 years. Now I have to pay him. I'm done. I'm not playing that game anymore. Give me Trevor Lawrence, who is considered the best prospect since Andrew Luck. Greg Piscataway. You're on the Frenzy, Greg.
Dave, who do I go with this week in a suicide pool? The Titans and the Colts are eliminated.
The Titans?
No, the Titans and the Colts are eliminated.
Oh, well, okay.
I picked them already.
Yeah, well, obviously, in the Titans. You can go with either the Ravens or the Rams would be the two that I would suggest. And you will absolutely live to see another week of your survivor pool. Nick Tiglius on the Twitter. Will Cam Newton throw for over 300 yards this week against the Chiefs? I would say no. I think the Chiefs defense is better than given credit for, and Newton is a dual threat. So he could have a huge game and still not rush for more than pass for more than 300 yards. DJ East Orange. DJ, you're on the Frenzy.
Yeah, what's up, Dave?
I'm sorry, DJ. I wanted to take your call. I'm a big fan of yours, but the WhatsApps are not allowed in the Frenzy. Joey Bag of Donuts. Can the Pats beat Kansas City? In a word, no. I'm not sure that anybody is beating Kansas City. Mark Brick, you're on the Frenzy.
Dave, over under 3.5 seasons before the Giants have a winning record.
How many more?
3.5.
Oh, no. Come on. If they are not winning football within 3.5 seasons, then everybody's got to go. Everybody. It would be an absolute disaster. Austin Akpala on Twitter wants to know, is Ingram the answer at tight end for the Giants? In a word, no. Chris Carr, you're on the Frenzy.
Hey, morning, Dave. How are you?
Here's what I don't understand. We set the ground rules. We've told people for years, get right to it, and yet still we get the, hey, Dave, big fan, how are you? Please, 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 please do not do that. Brad, Long Island. Brad, you're on the Frenzy.
I was wondering if the Jets getting the number one overall pick is the only way to attract a legitimate head coach to New York.
No, I don't think so. No. I think the Jets, if you wind up with Justin Fields, it's still an attractive job. Look, I will tell you this. Douglas is still well-respected. They have a boatload of money, and they have a lot of picks. So as bad as it is, and it's probably never been worse, to say the future doesn't have a silver lining, at least I think would be untrue. Chris in Astoria. Chris, you're on the Frenzy.
While the idea has been floated, why hasn't anyone been really giving any time to the fact that Trevor Lawrence could absolutely return to college like Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning did when the Jets?
I'll tell you why, Chris. I'll tell you why. I asked Paul Feinbaum this question yesterday, and he said no, he will not. He is not Andrew Luck. He is not Eli Manning, where he's going to force a trade out of that team. He is going to go wherever he's selected, and whoever has the number one pick, you'd imagine, would take him. Now, I'm interested to watch Justin Fields play as well this year. But no, the absolute odds are that wherever he goes, number one overall, number two, he's going to wind up playing with that team. Joe Pesci. I don't think that Joe Pesci. But Joe Pesci, nonetheless, what is wrong with the Eagles? The Eagles stink. The quarterback's not good. There's no receivers. Their offensive line is a mess. That's a bad football team right now. I mean, they have a game on Sunday night. They're not going to win that game. They should have lost to the Bengals. They're 0-2-1. They're not going to the postseason. They're in a cap situation. They're bad. That's what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles. And it makes you happier when your team is bad to watch others that are so bad. All right, Ty, why don't you pipe in here on the Friends?
All right. Chiefs dismantled the Ravens last week. Patriots are playing the Chiefs this week. What is the ceiling for New England this year?
The ceiling for New England, I think, is win the division, a playoff game. I don't know if that's a team that can go to the AFC Championship game. But here's the thing. Are you going to be the one that bets against Bill Belichick? Because I'm not. So the ceiling, reluctantly a little bit, I'll say is the AFC Championship game for New England. James in Jersey. James, you're on the Frenzy.
Hi. If the Giants were to have the number one pick, I mean, they keep Daniel Jones, what would you think it would take? What would they want to trade that number one pick for something?
Well, like, here's the thing. It depends what pick you're trading with, right? I mean, if you're trading with the fourth overall selection, so now you're going to wind up with, if assuming quarterbacks go 1 and 2 or 1 and 3, you're going to wind up with a star. You're going to wind up with Micah Parsons. You're going to wind up with the Sewell, the kid from Oregon. You're going to wind up with an absolute star player. What do you want in return? I think you'd want 3 ones. If you wind up with a 1 or the 2 and there's a team that's desperate for it, you wind up with 3 ones and a 2 or a 3. I mean, you wind up with a haul, because if you don't get a haul, you've done a tremendous disservice. Eddie, Long Island. Eddie, you're on the Frenzy.
Who's the best quarterback this season, Wilson, Rodgers, or Mahomes? Thanks, Dave.
All right, so this season, I'll say Wilson. If you said of those three, who would you rather have in one game, I'll still stand by Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes hasn't, let's be fair, he hasn't even done things this year that you're like, oh my God, he's on a different level, but he's still so dominant. And he makes throws every game. You're like, I can't believe he did that. Wilson has been more dominant in a short stretch, but who's the better quarterback? I think it's Mahomes. And Rodgers is just, he's back to being Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't matter. You take Devontae Adams out of the lineup, fine. Now Lazard's out of the lineup, fine. It doesn't matter what you do to him, who you put out there at receiver. What was the tight end's name that has a career day and is now being picked up in fantasy leagues all over? Roynton or something that you never heard of? Aaron Rodgers takes bad players or mediocre players and makes them serviceable to good. Montana in Jersey. Montana, you're on the Frenzy.
Quick question. Can the Detroit Lions beat the Saints? And if they do, can they make a playoff run?
I just don't have confidence that they're going to make a playoff run. Can they beat the Saints? I think so. I do. I mean, the Saints have underwhelmed. I don't think Drew Brees is all that great. It sounds like Michael Thomas will not play yet again in this game. And the Lions, for as bad as they have been in stretches, are 1-2, had a good win on the road in Arizona. Absolutely should have beaten the Bears week 1. That's a pretty good football team. And that's a talented team. Remember, Golladay didn't play the first couple weeks, so now they got him back. Yes, can they beat the Saints? Absolutely. Do I think they can win 10 games or 9 games? I don't think so. Victor in Jersey. Victor, you're on the Frenzy.
Should I start Traquan Smith from the Saints or Jeff Wilson in fantasy?
Ay, ay, ay. I mean, I wish I knew the amount of carries that Jeff Wilson. I guess I'll go Wilson. Because last week he had got a lot of garbage time and had big plays and went up with like 20 fantasy points. So I'll go Wilson. Both guys are pedestrian plays. You'd hope to have to not play either of those guys in fantasy this week. All right. Brian, why don't you blow it dead? I mean, now that's a Frenzy. Now, Ty, do you think people are getting in their cars at 10:02, going to Home Depot or going to you know, a sporting goods store? Or
Victoria's Secret.
Stop and Shop.
And we're not in love with that.
They were just, I mean, listen, you are the star of the station, of course. So when
what I do not need and what I will not tolerate is you mocking me.
Well,
turning to you as a friend and coworker and really the man that's in charge of the show in conjunction with me. Do you think there are people that got into the car that heard that, that were saying, oh, I can't believe at 10 o'clock they went in that direction?
If I had to look at the numbers, I would say 80% of the people were in favor of it and 20% of the people were not. But as you mentioned, I misspoke actually. You mentioned earlier in hour one, you are the voice of the station. So I'm sorry for calling you the star. It's the voice of the station. So whatever you do, I think is fine.
See, now I'm becoming annoyed at you, and I'll tell you why. Because you were comparing me to Ryan and John, who are management at the station. And I said, I'm the voice of the station in conjunction, in comparison to them. And you've taken it out of context, and now you've run with it. So you are now a bad guy. And now I've been very kind to you today. You better knock it out of the park with Stump Rothenberg. Out of the park, my friend.
And can I just mention,
out of the park.
I am. Because
let's be honest, last week you were a disaster.
I was a disaster?
Disaster.
You're going to put that on me?
And I didn't want to have to bring it up, but now I have to bring it up.
You're going
to
put that on me. That's
I got texts from multiple people at the station saying that you did a terrible job in the
Really?
The
they called me out. Called me specifically out.
Yes.
Like my Now, see, here's the problem with that. Everyone at the station knows me. Why would they not include me in the text? Why?
I don't think they want to embarrass you.
It's not embarrassing. I would rather you say it to me. Say it to my face.
Well, listen,
don't
that's
talk
that's
badly about
Maybe
me
you're unapproachable. I don't know the dynamics of you in a workplace environment outside of my dynamic with you.
Stop
Obviously,
it.
You put up a wall. There's a veneer that people are not comfortable trying to break through.
No, they should include me in the text. Don't talk about me behind my back.
That's not for me to determine. That's between you and them.
I think you should have said you should have stood up for me. That's on
well,
you
why?
Because you call yourself a friend of mine.
Well, I am a friend, but you did a bad job.
You were
I'm
invited.
Not going to defend a guy that does a bad job.
You were invited to my wedding.
Brian, did he do a bad job on Stump Roth?
That was really bad last week. I'm
yeah.
not going to lie.
So that's okay.
You were what, 4-5?
Not me, Ty. Ty was awful. The line of questioning was very bad, which is fine. Listen, no one's perfect.
But you can't. You should defend me to these people who are
but
texting
you. There was nothing
you.
To defend, honestly. Like last week, there was nothing to defend. You'll
say
be better this week.
Say I agree, but I think you should say that to Ty. I don't think you should be
but
talking behind
his back.
I don't
want to step in the way. I don't want to get in the way of your issues and with other people at the station. That dynamic is uncomfortable.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
You can try. Right, we've seen people make efforts at stumping Dave Rothenberg in the past. But Ty, as someone called and calculated the results last week, it's been tremendously unsuccessful. Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the law offices of the great, the sensational. I'm not supposed to tell you this. He's actually up for the Supreme Court. It's not very well known. I'll bring it to your attention. The great Andrew M. Cohen. All right, Ty, are you ready? I feel like you're going to be really, really good.
Yes, I am. I am ready to roll, my friend.
All right. I don't feel great. I got to be honest. I feel like maybe I'm going to lack greatness today, but we'll see. We will see. Let's go. Miles in Montclair, lead us off on Stump Rothenberg, Miles.
Hi Dave, how are you doing?
Good, Miles.
Okay. Alfred Hitchcock, in two of his movies, his daughter Pat appeared. Name one of them.
His daughter was in two of his movies.
Yep.
All right. Now, I think she had stage fright, I believe, which is interesting. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, and I think stage fright. Now, I think she was in Psycho. I think she was in Psycho. Ah. I'm going to say Psycho.
That's correct. The other one, do you want to know the other one?
Is it stage fright?
No.
No, 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 no.
That's not, no, he answered correctly.
That's right. He answered correctly.
The other movie was Strangers on a Train.
All right, I would not have gotten that.
The larger part.
Okay, I didn't know that one, but Psycho was something that I remembered. So that's 1-0. No. Who's on the buzzer today?
Your boy
wanted to see if you're on your toes today.
No, so. Brian, you know you're better than that. We were following up with added conversation. That's 1-0. Ty, what? Was that 1-0?
That's 1-0. But
all right.
Brian, Mike, watch out. Brooklyn. You're going to have people from the station texting Dave Rothenberg about your poor performances now.
This is true.
We should give you a pacifier. I mean, you are some kind of baby. All right, let's continue along. Mike in Brooklyn. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. There are 7 former Edmonton Oilers champions on the 94 Rangers roster. 4 of them are Kevin Lowe, Jeff Bookaboom, Adam Graves, and Mark Messier. Who are the last 3?
All right. So give me the ones that you said again. Did you say Tikkanen?
I said Kevin Lowe.
Okay.
Jeff Bookaboom, Adam Graves, and Mark Messier.
All right. So Glenn Anderson.
Uh-huh.
Tikkanen. Zuboff was not. Amonte was not on the team. So I gave you Anderson, right? You gave me Bookaboom. Gartner was not on the team, and he was not an Oiler. Larmer was never an Oiler. Was Doug Lidster ever an Edmonton Oiler? I don't think Doug Lidster was an Oiler. Is this a brutal one? Like, is this a well-known guy?
I mean, you're a Rangers fan. They've 94 roster, our last championship.
Yeah, no, the only one in the last 80 years. Greg Gilbert. I mean, I remember the roster well. I don't think Greg Gilbert was an Edmonton Oiler. Now, Todd Marchant was traded.
Right, on the Rangers roster.
At all, any point, or they actually won the Cup with the Rangers?
Well, Stanley Cup roster, not talking about anybody traded.
All right, so Marchant was not on the team when they won.
Correct.
You said Messier, right, obviously?
Yeah.
I said Tikkanen. I don't think Jay Wells was ever an Oiler. Was he? I don't think he was. So we've covered 6. Give me the 6 that we've gotten again.
Jay Wells was a king.
You know it. So give me the 6 that we've gotten. That you gave me 4
Kevin
and I got 2,
Lowe,
right?
Right. Kevin Lowe, Bookaboom, I gave you Messier and Graves. I forgot who'd you say? You said
I said Tikkanen.
You said Tikkanen and Gartner, you said?
No, Gartner was not. Did I say McTavish?
You didn't say McTavish.
So that one would be McTavish, would be the other one.
Correct.
So I got it.
You're correct. Yep.
All right, very roundabout. But there we go. That's 2-0. It took too long. All right, let's go Paul in Bay Ridge. Paul, 2-0, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave.
What's up, Paul?
All right, we're going to go back to baseball.
Okay.
In honor of the Yankees advancing. So the 2020 Yankees had the home run king and batting champion in Voit and LeMahieu on the same team. Who was the last team to have the batting crown and home run crown on the same team?
All right. So the last team to do that. Now, is it American or National League?
It's National League.
It's National League. All right. Maybe I shouldn't have asked that, but I guess.
No, it's okay. Because this year, the 2020 Yankees had... They led all of MLB.
Well, didn't the, this, the this, no? I don't think the. I'm not gonna drag this out. I don't think I know it. I'm gonna say the Rockies.
No, it was the 1959 Braves.
Wow, Hank Aaron and the 59 Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews. All right, so that's 2-1. That would have taken me. I don't think I would have known that, and if I had, it would have taken me absolutely forever. Steven Brooklyn, a 2-1. You're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
All right. So with the NBA Finals going on, we'll have some NBA trivia here.
Okay.
Manu Ginobili is one of 2 players to win Olympic gold, an NBA title, and the EuroLeague title. Who is the other player?
So it's Olympic gold.
Yes.
Go ahead. Give it to me again.
Olympic gold, NBA title and the EuroLeague title?
I mean, names that jump off would be Gasol, would be Parker, but Parker was so young when he came here. Is there anybody else that I'm missing? Someone from Argentina? Ginobili's such a good player. So the EuroLeague is the one that becomes difficult. Who are these EuroLeague players? Bill Bradley. Did Bill Bradley play in the EuroLeague? I don't know. He definitely won Olympic gold. And he obviously won titles with the Knicks. I think he might have been in the EuroLeague. I don't know if he won a title. I think Parker was so young when he came over. He can't have. And I don't think Gasol did either. And those are the two guys that I would think of current day. I'm going to ask you, I know it's not fair. Is it someone recent or no? Ty, you can step in and tell me I can't.
No, come on, Dave. You've been doing this for the entirety of the
season. I'm gonna guess Bill Bradley then for some reason. I think he won't, but I don't know if
he won. So while studying at Oxford in 1966, Bill Bradley won the EuroLeague title with Olympiano Milano. That is the answer.
That Ty is what we call genius. Okay? That you just saw, you've seen the depths of how bad I can be. That was the genius.
It was
what I can be.
When he asked me on the phone, my first guess was Pau Gasol.
So that was stressful. That was wonderful. I mean, I had all the emotions right there. Three.
And you tried to cheat.
I didn't try to cheat.
You were asking.
In fact, I thought I was more than fair because no. I said, is this something I'm allowed to ask? And I allowed you to step in.
Okay, when you go on Jeopardy, are you allowed to just ask random, you know, little details about the answer,
you know,
just to help?
I think that the listeners
point you in the right
notice.
Direction.
I've been nothing but kind and wonderful with you today, and you've been nothing but belligerent and obstinate and difficult. And I think that is absolutely the case. Brian, would you agree that Ty has been battling and
but you said he was on his A game today. Ty was different today.
You know what? I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know. Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, guys. I always say you guys are like Brady and Belichick, you know? Every now and then, Belichick is not going to call the right play. Brady may throw an interception, but you guys are still both the best in business, you and Ty. Anyhow, my question is, Dave, only one person has been nominated for Best Director in the same year. Only time it happened. He was nominated for...
Wait, what do you mean he's been nominated Best Director in the same year?
He had two pictures out that he directed. Best Director. Best Director.
So two films?
Best Director. Yep. He had two films, and he was nominated for Best Director for both of them in the same year.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I don't know. I know Scarlett Johansson, I believe, was nominated for two movies in the same year. Did he? Oh, I'm gonna say, did he win either? Ty's gonna freak out if I ask that. So one person nominated for Best Director.
Correct.
Twice in the same year.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice question. I mean, could it be Coppola? It's good. This has to be. This has to be a big. Is this a huge name?
Well, you know, if you follow movies, it is. But to be honest with you, the average common man walking down the street
doesn't even know who this is. All right, I'm going to guess Scorsese.
No, it was Steven Soderbergh in 2000. He won it for Traffic. It was the best movie. He won it for that, and he also had Aaron Brockovich in the same year.
All right, so three and two. Stump Rothenberg continues. 98.7 ESPN. 3-2 record, in case you missed the first five. Let's go to Tony in the Bronx. Tony, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, thank you for my call. So
So Derek Jeter on September 25th, 2014, last game at Yankee Stadium, hits a walk-off home run.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, a walk-off.
The base hit to right.
Yeah. Who scored the winning run?
Oh, my God. It was against the Orioles, I remember. It was a base hit to right field. Who scored the winning run? It was an inside-out swing. I remember it.
Ty got it.
And there was a throw home. It was a close play at home. I should use Ty as my lifeline here. I remember it, and I think it was actually a change-up to pitch. But I do not remember. I do not remember who scored the run. Oh, God.
Got to give it a shot.
I'm thinking. I think Gardner was Gardner up? Oh. Was Perella involved in that? Ty, you knew this right away?
Oh, right away, yes.
Was it a pinch runner?
I'm not going to give you that, my
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, I guess you can't. Oh, God.
I mean, if you're a New York talk show host, you got to know this stuff.
I think it was a pinch runner, wasn't it? And the Yankees came back. They were down 5-2, and they came back to win 6-5, I think. I remember the game at Yankee Stadium. I remember it. It was an off-speed pitch. He went to right field. And it's someone that, like, this guy's completely nondescript. Like, no one knows who he is, right?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because when I was talking with Ty, right when we were getting screened, I was going to bring a part two up to the question, and I heard you whisper the part two that I had in it. So you're on the right track, and you're pretty good.
Yeah, but it's a pinch runner. I remember it, because Perella got a hit, and then I think Gardner came up, and then Jeter went the other way. But I think someone was pinch running. Oh, God. It's a common name, too. But he's a nondescript guy. And I'm right with all these things, right? Oh, I don't know. It's like silver... This is awful. Ty, you know this? You knew this right away?
Right away. I'm a diehard Yankees fan. Yeah. Derek Jeter was my guy. Favorite player of all time. So
it's a common name. It's oh God. Is it Wellington, Richardson, it's something like that. I don't know.
I mean, coming up on 3 minutes, so yeah, we'd like to get an answer at some point. Take your time, but don't hurry.
Yeah, thanks. It's not Gardner. It's not Perel. Is it Richardson?
You got it.
Is it? Oh, that was lucky. That honestly, that was very fortunate.
Anton Richardson.
Anton Richardson. Oh my God. You knew that, Ty?
Yes,
surprise,
I did.
You don't follow sports all that closely. All right, Spider, the Spider in Connecticut, Spider, at 4-2, you're up next.
Do you need a minute after that one? No, you need to towel off. Oh, that was a tough one.
That was brutal, huh?
Take a breath. Here we go. We're going to switch it up.
All right.
We're going to go 80s sitcom trivia.
Okay.
Charles in Charge.
I love that show.
When it originally aired, had a original family. Not the Pembrokes with Nicole Eggert, who is stunning.
Stunning.
But who was the original family that Charles was in charge of?
The Powells, I believe.
I feel bad coming at you like this after you just... What did you just say?
The Powells.
Oh, you are too good, my man.
And I believe that the Pembrokes moved to Seattle. And then the Powells were involved with that. I mean, yeah, I love that show. Willie Ames, Nicole Eggert, Josie Davis was the older sister who later was on Melrose Place. Ellen Travolta was Scott Baio's mother. So yes,
right, just showing off now. We get
five
it.
And two.
We get
I can't
it.
Help.
You got it right. You got it right. We
All
get
right.
it.
Did you say you had a question?
I do. It's a okay. softball, so we can end on a high note.
All right. So you have no doubt I get this.
Yes, it okay. is a it's a LeBron James question. He came into Wednesday in his 9 finals, 1-8 in game ones. Who was the one win against?
Well, I think, see, now you have me second-guessing myself. But was it the Mavericks? Did they win that game? I think it was the Mavericks. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, do I really need to go and go through the history of now LeBron's NBA Finals.
Thought it was a softball. I mean, you should know this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not right in my... I mean, let me think back. LeBron.
You remember every LeBron James Finals appearance.
Well, yeah, of course.
You can go through how the series played out.
Right, but is that what we really want to do? Spend the next 5 minutes on me running through the NBA Finals?
I thought you would get this one.
You thought this was going to be easy for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I thought this was a layup, so to speak. No pun intended.
Really?
Yeah.
It seemed that easy.
He's about to win another title. So he got the second win in a game one on Wednesday night.
I understand that. I think... I don't want to spend 50 hours here. I'm going to say the Mavericks.
You are correct, my friend.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Because I remember they lost game to OKC, and then they came back and just destroyed
They them. Went up 17 in game two, and then we know what happened the rest of that series.
Yeah.
Six and two, though, Dave.
That's pretty representable. I mean, that's a heck of a job,
I mean,
right?
It's decent. It's no Gordon Damer, I'll tell you that.
I'm not Gordon. I'm trying to be me. I'm not trying to be Gordon Damer, who is
but
at
great.
A different level than anybody.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ. How are you?
Mr. Dave, how are you?
I am doing really, really well, to be honest with you. It's a beautiful day here in New York. The show is going swimmingly. I get to talk to you for the next hour. What could be better?
You know, we didn't have a lot of time, you know, on Friday. You guys are just trying to get my picks nonstop. It's a little stressful. We can relax a little bit here.
That's right. There's no rushing. It's more like, you know, it's more we can get to know each other. There's a feeling out period. It's nice. I greatly enjoy this time together.
Here's my question. Who gets to the playoffs first, the Giants or the Jets?
I'd always say the Giants. If you're going to compare, like, who's more pathetic, who's the Giants are never going to be at that level. Wow, this is huge news, by the way. I got to and being sincere. Adam Schefter just tweeted, Cam Newton tested positive for COVID-19, is out for the game tomorrow against the Chiefs.
Ooh.
Wow. Which has many levels to it, RJ. First of all, it's terrifying because now it's obviously another team that's been infiltrated when it comes to COVID. And we don't know what's going to happen with New England. Will they be able to play this game? We were hoping it was just isolated to Tennessee. Clearly, that's not the case. And secondarily, if they can play this game, Cam Newton is not in this game. It takes on a completely different game, completely different feel.
No doubt. So if Cam is positive, then has there ever been a time that one person on a team's been positive? It seems like when there's one, there's more.
You'd have to, I mean, the way that this thing spreads, you look at anybody that gets it that's in a group of other people. It's not just that one person that winds up with it. It's many. So if you're just tuning in, this honestly is huge news. Adam Schefter has it, Ian Rappaport has it. Cam Newton tested positive, will not play in the game for the Patriots tomorrow against the Kansas City Chiefs. A game that I think most of us looked at and said was one of the games of the week.
Oh, no, I mean the game of the week.
You think? This is the game of the week, huh?
Well, I think
not
it
anymore.
Was.
It's not.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, not anymore. Well, they said Jarrett Stidham was going to be capable. We'll find that out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'll watch how the line moves here in the next 10 minutes.
What? I mean, you're the genius. What was it, 7?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think it goes? 12?
Yeah, that feels high. But 11 and a half. I mean, I think 12 could be. Because remember, 10 and a half, 11, 11 and a half, 12, all the way up to 13 and a half are not key numbers. You know, 10 and 14.
This is such a huge news. Ian Rappaport is saying it's isolated right now. It's only Cam Newton. But what does that mean? Right? I mean, we're still finding out days and days and days later, RJ, that Tennessee is having positives. They had three more positives today.
Yeah. So this is something I didn't fully understand. When they test, you know, there's an incubation period of what, 4 or 5 days. When they test, can they identify it during the incubation period?
They test, but I don't think that the test is not that it's not legitimate, but I mean, if it takes days to actually test positive, if you get tested 1 day later, 2 days later, 3 days later, it almost doesn't matter because this thing has 5 to 7 days to fully incubate and to test positive with.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If that's the case, that they can't identify.
I wonder if they play this game, to be honest with you.
You say it again?
I wonder if they play this game.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing. If they can't test for sure, and there's one player that has it, do you really expose Kansas City to the rest of the Patriots?
I think the smart move would be to not play this game.
Well, remember, though, they were going to play the Pittsburgh, Tennessee a few days later.
And they decided not to.
Well, because there was additional positives, yeah.
Well, I mean, RJ, we're Saturday. That game was going to be played Monday or Tuesday. We're still getting, still today, a week later, additional positives.
Now, this is going to be fascinating with the Super Contest. So you pick 5 games a week.
Are you now, once you make your picks, are you locked in or are there changes?
No, there's no changes. None.
So when you, so doesn't it then behoove you, and beautiful use of the word behoove, doesn't it behoove you to wait to the last minute to make those picks?
Which the latest you can submit them is 10 o'clock Pacific tonight.
Okay. So have you submitted yet or do you wait? No,
we submit about 9 o'clock.
Right. Now, I, in the three picks with Chris and Rick, guess who I took?
Kansas City.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kansas City -7. It looks pretty good right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Now, looking at the line, and I'll keep us updated, they may take this off the board initially, too. But right now, let me see. Raiders. Oh, here we go. Still 7, but I mean, this just happened.
There's no way I could walk into a sports book right now and bet that game at 7, could I?
Here's the thing. If they have the third string, remember, it's if it were a half hour ago, maybe. Because a lot of times they have an low limits in an auto line where no human's even looking at it. But they make the limit so low, they don't worry about it so much. Actually, there was a game, multiple games in Korean baseball about 3 months ago, mm-hmm, that the MGM had the wrong start time on. And someone hit, or group hit, the kiosks again and again
after
and again.
The game, after the game had started?
It was about in the 7th inning, and they were still able to bet it.
Oh, my God.
And they won $500,000. And
did they overturn it? They allowed that to happen.
So they got a chunk of it cashed before they could do anything. And then the rest of it they froze, and the gambling commission sided with MGM, which is actually very surprising. Because they tend to punish a book if they make a mistake like that. Because imagine this, though, Dave. What happens if they had lost that bet? Even though it was the 7th inning, they had lost. Books would have kept the money.
Right.
So it's kind of tough to say, if you win, give us the money back. If we win, we'll keep it.
Yeah. This is a disaster.
The Patriots?
Just all of it. I can't believe we're sitting here. We're the day before the game. We find out Newton's not going to play. And this was everyone's concern originally when we you know, had this whole COVID scare and everything was happening. It was explosive all over the place. That what happened? How many times did you have the conversation? What happens on a Saturday when we find out that Pat Mahomes or, you know, some elite quarterback can't play, and now what's going to happen? And
yeah,
now, you know, we're living with that.
I mean, let me say this. It wasn't that long ago that there was real skepticism there'd be a season. So to me, the mistake the NFL made, they should have built in a week. They should have had a week 18 that was a floater. And now instead of all the bye shenanigans, or not shenanigans, but shuffling, just week 18. And now I don't understand how, if they have, let's say we have 7-8 cancellations the rest of the year, how are they going to get that game in for those teams?
I guess what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to, if it means you have to extend the season a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is, that's what you'll have to do. This now becomes the bye week for New England, right? And the bye week for Kansas City, if this game is not in fact played and they figure out a way to play that game in week 9 or 10 or 11. Like, they have to figure it out. You can't not play the game.
No, I agree with that 100%. You can't not play the game. I'm saying, why not build in, like, if before the season, what would you have made the over-under for missed games?
Missed games?
Meaning rescheduled. Rescheduled.
Oh, I would have said, maybe I'm going to be high here, but I would have said 12.
Okay. Doesn't it make sense to add an extra week at the end?
Yes, but why can't they still do that?
They can, but now how do you move the Super Bowl?
What's the difference? I mean, I have to imagine you're going to have a Super Bowl played with no fans at all anyway.
Well, I guess that's months and months away, but perhaps. But you're still going to
So I don't even know when the Super Bowl is supposed to be. Let's just say it's supposed to be like first Sunday of February, right, for argument's sake. So if it means that it goes to the second Sunday in February, does that really impact a lot of people?
Well, I think that maybe with the lack of fans, you might be right. But, I mean, I know that for like our radio show and the network, they schedule those rooms, you know, like now, effectively.
Right, which is understood. But, okay, so now they'll call up when I can't imagine there's going to be a scarcity of hotel rooms available.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
So, you're right, and I think it's an interesting conversation. But I think in this year of all years, RJ, whatever it is you have to do, you have to do. If it means you put this
I agree.
3 weeks or till March or whatever, so be it.
That's why I was wondering why you were complaining so much.
Well, it's a big story. I mean, it took me off guard. I'm very emotionally invested in this. And I got to tell you, to be on the air and have this happen is radio gold for the two of us.
Yeah, you know, when I was actually on air when the Milwaukee decided not to play that game, boy, you'd be shocked at the skills I have.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I think despite what most people think about you, I think you're a grizzled veteran broadcaster at this point.
Well, I think
you've done a very nice job of carving out a niche in the radio industry.
What most people think of me is, boy, that mofo never loses, does he?
Yeah, no, you've been terrific.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.